Welcome to the Ultimate College Football Podcast, providing national coverage of America's greatest sport. Join us for bi-weekly episodes throughout the season, and remember to subscribe and rate or review the show wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to contact the show, please email us at ultimatecfbpod@gmail.com or via Twitter at @CFB_ultimate. Welcome back to the Ultimate College Football Podcast, as on today's episode, we are going to preview the first full week of bowl season. This is the bowl games from Monday, December 18th through Saturday, December 23. So let's begin with Monday. We've got the famous Toasteries Bowl from Charlotte, North Carolina, kicking off on ESPN, 2:30 Eastern. This is just a one-off bowl that is replacing the Bahamas Bowl because the Bahamas Bowl cannot be played this season due to renovations that they are doing to the venue in the Bahamas. So we've got this just one-off bowl here in Charlotte, and it features two teams that were in the Conference USA just last season. Western Kentucky, still a Conference USA member, went 7-5 versus 6-6 Old Dominion, now in the Sun Belt. This is the Monarchs' third bowl game all time. Their only other bowl win is back in 2016, and they were a team that was, you know, pretty indicative of their 6-6 record, relatively mediocre. Did win their last two in order to make it to a bowl game, so coming in with some momentum. For Western Kentucky, just a really disappointing season. They were expected to challenge for the Conference USA crown, and what was a weaker Conference USA this year, and they were not able to do that. Got surpassed on the totem pole by teams like Jacksonville State and New Mexico State. So very disappointing, but still a team that can throw the ball, but they have a lot of deficiencies in the run game, both offensively and defensively, ranking 116th in a rushing offense and 122nd in run defense. So there are some real susceptibilities here, and their defense is just especially weak, ranking 117th in total D. So Western Kentucky, not going against a juggernaut in ODU's offense, but their defense is a real weakness here. Overall, this team is 3-1 in their last four bowl games with Hilltoppers. Have had some postseason success, but we'll see what this matchup ends up looking like. I imagine it's a pretty even game. I'm going to go for Old Dominion here. I think there's going to be more motivation in this game compared to the disappointing season Western Kentucky has had, but probably a pretty even game. Moving on to Tuesday, December 19th, kicking off at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, we've got the sixth edition of the Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas, featuring two teams that, once again, were in the Conference USA last year, UTSA, currently of the AAC, and Marshall of the Sun Belt. Marshall, they're coming in with a 6-6 record, making their Frisco Bowl debut. They are a team that is kind of stumbling into this game, losing six of their last eight games, but they did turn the tide a little bit towards the end of the season, winning two of their last three to make it to the postseason. For UTSA, they've never won a bowl game. They're 0-4 all time, so a chance here to do something new for the Roadrunner program. UTSA was a pretty solid team, kind of got forgotten about because they struggled early in the year in the non-conference, which was very difficult, but then they came alive in conference play, winning seven of their last eight. Their only loss was that Black Friday loss to Tulane, which kept Roadrunners from the conference championship in their debut AAC season. So UTSA was a much better team. I'd expect to see that carry into the postseason, and I like the Roadrunners to win this one. Moving on to Thursday, for whatever reason, there is no game on Wednesday. So December 21st, 8 p.m. Eastern, we've got the 10th edition of the Boca Raton Bowl from, of course, Boca Raton, Florida, a matchup of two teams that were for a time in the old Big East. You've got Syracuse of the ACC coming in with a 6-6 record versus another 6-6 team in South Florida of the AAC. South Florida has really turned things around in Alex Golish's first season. They are in a bowl game for the first time since 2018 and going for their first bowl win since 2017. For Syracuse, they're going to back-to-back bowls, which is something we haven't seen a lot of in recent years. This is only the second back-to-back bowl appearance in the 21st century for the Orangemen, and they are going to be coached by their interim, who won his only other game as the head coach, so we'll see if he can continue on that trajectory. Winner, of course, finishes with a winning season. The loser finishes with a losing season, and looks to be, even though it's a Power 5, Group of 5 matchup, this could be a pretty even game, I imagine, just with both teams, lack of postseason presence in recent years, that both of these schools are going to be up for this one. So not a bad pre-Christmas bowl. The pre-Christmas bowls have a tendency to be a little meager. I think this is one of the more interesting ones. For Syracuse, they, of course, are a team that stumbled at the end of the year, finishing with 6 losses in their last 8 games after that really fast start. But they did turn the tide a little bit at the end of the season with a 2-1 finish. So we'll see what they can do. They are 6-2 in their last 8 bowl games. So Syracuse, despite not being a frequent bowl participant, they have had some postseason success. For South Florida, they are a team that is very balanced. They are 15th overall in total offense, and this offense indicative of a lot of other ones you see nationally, like Tennessee, which is where Golish came from. They're going to do a lot of RPOs, see where they have numbers, and if they have numbers down the field, they're going to take shots. If not, they're going to pound a ball. So they try to kind of keep you off balance defensively, and they've been pretty successful with that scheme this year. Defensively, it's a different story. They rank 131st in total defense, and against the run, dead last as 133rd. So South Florida, they probably are going to need their offense to produce if they're going to have a chance in this one. On Friday, December 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, we have the 15th edition of the Gasparilla Bowl from Tampa, Florida, featuring 2 Power 5 teams, Georgia Tech of the ACC and UCF of the Big 12. 2 6-6 teams. For UCF, interestingly enough, they are, despite being a Big 12 member, in a bowl game that's very familiar to them, as they've played in 2 Gasparilla Bowls in recent memory, including one just 2 seasons ago. This is their record 6th appearance in this game, and they already have 3 wins. They've had a lot of success here. They are a team that is built to run the ball, as Gus Malzahn offenses always are. They have the 4th top rushing offense in college football. And Georgia Tech, they also like to run the football. So we're going to see a lot of ground game here. As Georgia Tech, they have the 16th running offense. Both teams really struggle in run defense. Georgia Tech ranks 131st. UCF not quite as bad, but still really struggle at 121st. So could see a lot of ground success from both teams. And it could be a fun game. I think they're probably pretty 2 evenly matched teams. Identical records from similar conferences. For Georgia Tech, first bowl appearance since 2018. So definitely a positive sign in Brent Key's first full season as the Yellow Jackets head coach. This game certainly has an argument for being the best bowl game of this bowl week. I'm going to go with Georgia Tech, but I do think this game is pretty much a coin toss. And then for Saturday, December 23rd, we've got a whopping 7 bowl games, which should be a lot of fun, starting noon Eastern from Montgomery, Alabama on ESPN, the 10th edition of the Camilla Bowl, Northern Illinois and Arkansas State, 2 6-6 teams, the Huskies of the MAC and the Red Wolves of the Sun Belt. For Northern Illinois, they're making their debut in this bowl game and coming in with quite a bit of momentum, finished 5-2, have an early season win against Boston College. So the Huskies, despite not being a MAC championship game participant, which is kind of the standard there, they still have done a lot of good things, especially late in the year. And they are a team that's particularly good defensively. They have the 21st best defense, and they are especially good against the pass with the 6th overall passing defense in college football.
for Arkansas State, the main thing for them is that they're able to make it to a bowl game. It's their first since 2019. It's a sign of positive momentum and improvement under Butch Jones, which he's really struggled at Arkansas State, but he has started to turn things around a little bit. But they are a team that's still pretty weak, especially on defense, 122nd and or 27th in total defense. So I think on paper, Northern Illinois looks to be the stronger team, but we could still have a pretty good game here between two Group of Five teams with identical records. For Arkansas State, they have been in three of the last four Camilla Bowls with a 1-1 record. So a lot of familiarity here, although they haven't, of course, been bowling in some time. I like Northern Illinois. I think they're the better team, but it could be an interesting game. Two teams that are stylistically, or at least as their strengths are different. Northern Illinois, more of a defensive team. Arkansas State, very weak on defense. They have to make it up with offensive output. Staying in the state of Alabama, over on ABC, also at noon Eastern, we've got the Birmingham Bowl between Duke and Troy. Duke, they come in with a 7-5 record, and they are a team that was really ravished by injuries this year, and it really derailed what was a very promising season. And unfortunately, this Duke team has continued to take some pretty serious hits as head coach Mike Elko left for Texas A&M. So they're being coached by their interim Trooper Taylor. This is a team that has been depleted by the transfer portal, as you tend to have with coaching changes. I think especially a school like Duke, Riley Leonard, our star quarterback, he's transferring to Notre Dame. We're seeing a lot of people leave, and you do have to wonder about the state of this Duke roster entering this game. And this is a team that already, and this was in part due to some injuries as well, but they really did fall apart at the end of the season, finishing 3-5 or 2-6 or 2-4 overall, depending where you want to make that dividing line. And defensively, which has typically been a strength of Duke under Elko, they really struggled at the end of the season. 96 total defense and 112 in passing defense. It's just not been up to par. And without Riley at QB, their offense has really struggled as well. So this is a game that I think Troy feels probably pretty optimistic in. The Trojans are an elite defensive team, and they are especially good against the run, which is very common for John Summerall teams. Unfortunately for Troy, they have some similarities to Duke in the fact that John Summerall, the very successful Trojan head coach, he is gone to Tulane. So their interim is going to be Craig Gasparato. I do think he's probably inheriting a team that is more put together than Duke. And they're a team that carries a lot more momentum into this game. They're the Sun Belt champion. They have an 11-2 record. And I think they're probably going to be pretty up for this game, getting an ACC opponent in a bowl game that's seen a lot of at least coverage here, national network. As with all the turnover from both teams, this game's very difficult to predict. I'm going to go with Duke, but I'm not all confident in that. We'll see what happens. Could be a very interesting game, though, at the very least. Moving forward to 3:30 Eastern on ESPN, we have the 27th edition of the famous Idaho Potato Bowl from Boise, Idaho, played on the famous Smurf turf. We've got two 6-6 teams of the Mountain West, Utah State, and the Sun Belt, Georgia State. Georgia State, they've won their last five games, so they have really turned the tide to make it to a bowl game. But defensively, they are weak, and I think Blake Anderson's squad is going to really try to exploit that, as the Panthers have the 131st pass defense and overall rank 118th. This is not a very good defensive football team, and Utah State, they do like to throw the ball. So I think the matchup does favor them, but Utah State, they've got their own problems defensively, 108th in total D and 128th in run D. So the run defense for Utah State is a big weakness, and for Utah State, it's the pass defense. Utah State is a better offensive team, the 22nd overall best offense. So I do lean towards Utah State in this game. But could be pretty even game and could see a lot of points just based on the defensive struggles for Utah State. They are making their fifth appearance in the Potato Bowl. That is more than any other program on Georgia State. This is their Potato Bowl debut. Also at 3:30 Eastern, we've got the 21st Armed Forces Bowl from Fort Worth, Texas on ABC. James Madison, 11-1, the Sunbelt East champion, taking on 8-4 Air Force. This is a shot to be a very good football game. James Madison, this is their first bowl game. Weren't eligible because there were not enough bowl eligible teams. James Madison, who couldn't go because they're in that two-year transition period from the FCS to FBS, they were now able to make it to the postseason, which is something that they were really shooting for. This is a program that's very excited for what is a first, which you don't see a lot for a program like James Madison and the success that they've had, but this is a first for them going to a bowl game. And Air Force, they were a team that was really hot, jumped out to an undefeated start, but then lost their last four games, and a lot of that was because of turnovers. So the Falcons, they've got to turn the tide here. They've got to protect the football. If they don't, James Madison's going to win and probably run away with it. If they can protect the football, then this becomes a very interesting ball game. Remember when Air Force was cooking in the first part of the year in the 8-0 start, they were playing very good football against some pretty good football teams, and their style of play is a little challenging to prepare for that option offense. Don't see a lot of it in today's game. Although James Madison will be helped by the longer time to prepare and the lead up for this. But this does at least have potential, but I do think it's dependent on if Air Force can protect the football. For James Madison, they're one of those schools impacted by coaching defections, as their head coach left to become the top dog at Indiana. So we'll see how that impacts the Dukes. Looking at the matchup itself, probably going to be a very defensive game. Both of these teams have elite defenses, and James Madison's in particular ranks number one against the run, which is very important going against an Air Force offense that is obviously run-centric as an option team. They are, I believe, the top rushing offense in college football, so it's good on good here. It's going to be very exciting to see those two square off. For James Madison, they do have a lot of weaknesses in pass defense. Can Air Force exploit that? They're not really built to, but sometimes in these option offenses, you do get the occasional big play through the air because the defense really isn't prepared for it. So you really soften them up with that ground game, and then you maybe even leak out an option pass, and you can get some explosive plays. Air Force has done that at times throughout the season. So that is something to look for. Some explosive plays through the air could help give the Falcons some major plays that kind of change the trajectory of the game. But it will be very fun to see that run defense of James Madison and that option offense of Air Force go head-to-head. It is really good on good, as we said. From James Madison offensively, they can air it out. They're very good through the air. So this Air Force defense, which is one of the best troops in the nation statistically, they're going to need to come to play. This is a game that has a lot of potential. We'll see if it lives up to its potential, but that is definitely one to keep an eye on there Saturday afternoon. Then moving forward to Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, we've got another game in the state of Alabama, this time from Mobile, the 68 Ventures Bowl, the 25th edition of this game. If you don't recognize that name, it's because this is a bowl game that always goes by some corporate sponsorship, and it does tend to change from time to time. So this year, it's 68 Ventures, and it features two 6-6 schools, South Alabama of the Sun Belt playing on their home field against Eastern Michigan of the MAC. South Alabama quietly had a very disappointing season. They opened the year with a September victory against Oklahoma State, who went on to become the Big 12 runner-up. The Jaguars coming off of a double-digit winning season a season ago, but to collapse a 6-6 was really not expected. But I do think they're going to be excited for this game. They are 0-3 all-time in bowl games, so the Jaguars have a shot to get a first here and win in the postseason. For Eastern Michigan, defensively, they are a weak football team, 131st in total D and 113th in running defense. So Two teams, identical records, but I think the metrics do favor South Alabama. I'm going to go with the Jaguars to get their first bowl victory. Then at 7:30 Eastern on ABC, we've got the 31st edition of the Las Vegas Bowl, featuring 8-4 Utah versus 7-5 Northwestern. One of those Big Ten Pac-12 matchups. Not many of those, of course, remaining with the Pac-12's demise. Making their sixth appearance in this game, Utah is tied all time for the most Las Vegas Bowl appearances. And if they win, they will have the most wins all time, as they currently are tied for first in that category with 4. So very frequent participant, first time playing in the Las Vegas Bowl since it's been put in the new Raiders Stadium. And the most recent appearance was back in 2015. For Utah, we are all, of course, very familiar with this team. They are very good defensively. Offensively, not so much. Tend to lean against the ground game. But they have found some offensive rhythm throughout the year, being without Cam Rising. And Bryson Barnes certainly has had some success under center. For Utah, though, they are going to win low-scoring games and focus on running the football, as their offense still is not that good, especially through the air. Northwestern, they are a surprise bowl participant. Expectations were about as low as they could have been entering the season, but David Braun was able to have a surprise year, punching their ticket to the postseason. He is now the full-time head coach. The interim tag got scrapped, and I think Northwestern is going to be very excited to feature or to play against a team that has had a lot of national success in recent years, playing in their first ever Las Vegas Bowl. I think a lot of people are going to view that as a pretty good bowl location, and a team that is coming in with some momentum. They won their last 3 games. I think they're going to be up for this one, but you do have a lot of offensive concerns as well for Northwestern. 124th in total offense and running offense, 120th, 98th against the pass. So this is probably going to be a very low-scoring team. Two teams good defensively, but offensively have really struggled. Could make for a very competitive game Saturday night, and what is, I think, probably the best bowl matchup of the day. I want the better bowl matchups before Christmas. And then to wrap up the Saturday and the week of college football, we've got the Hawaii Bowl from, of course, Honolulu, 10:30 Eastern on ESPN. 2 7-5 teams, Coastal Carolina of the Sun Belt and San Jose State of the Mountain West. Neither one of these schools had great seasons, but they did stay in their conference title race all the way to the very end. It could be a pretty even game. Something that does really loom large in this game is the fact that Grayson McCall, the longtime Coastal Carolina quarterback and really legend for the Chanticleers, he is transferring to NC State, and it's hard to overestimate his importance to this team. He's kind of the heart of this team and obviously a great trigger man for that attack. So that is a major blow. We'll see how they operate without him, of course, as the post-Grayson McCall era now has come a little bit early for Coastal Carolina, making their first Hawaii Bowl debut. And they are carrying some momentum stemming from their late season success as they finished 5-2 for San Jose State. Kind of similar story. They won their last 6 to make it here, and also making their first Hawaii Bowl appearance. Pretty even game. I do like San Jose State, though. I think being without Grayson McCall is a really big blow for Coastal. So that does it here for our 11 pre-Christmas bowls in the second full week of bowl season. And we are going to have in the near future episodes for the second week of bowl season, an episode previewing the 4 major bowls that are not a part of playoff, and then a episode dedicated to the 2 semifinal games. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Ultimate College Football Podcast.